chapter number 18, St. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 10 is where we'll begin reading this morning. Again, we like to say we appreciate the things we've already heard in this class that we were part of this morning, and I'd like to maybe all of you weren't here, some of you were in other classes, but I felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning that, and I'd like to pass this on to you as a challenge, and maybe you heard it as well, but if we would do everything, if we would make every decision, if we would make a determination on where we're going to go, what we're going to do, what we're going to partake of, when we're going to go and do those things in the shadow of the cross. Y'all remember, y'all that were in here this morning, Brother Greg kept asking us, are you still here? Are you still at the cross? He was saying that in our mind, are we still here? And I think if we made every decision in life in the shadow of the cross, it probably would make a lot of difference about our decisions. Amen. Boy, that's the reason we sometimes like to pull away from it, because it brings us to a reality. But yet we'd all say we love the Lord. Amen. When you say it, we're so grateful for what He done for us on the cross. Not one of us, not one would be here today had it not been for what Christ done on Calvary. Praise God. All right, if you want to read with us, would you stand and join with us this morning? Some of you have been sitting for a while, I know. I want to give you an opportunity to stand here and participate in the reading of the Word. Just take a moment. Think about this wonderful book that you're holding in your hands. If you're reading on the screen, those precious words, somebody, more than one somebody. I just want you to think about this, another challenge. Many people died. You hear me? Many, I'm not talking about what Christ done on Calvary. Many human beings died so you could hold this book in your hand. Some of them had their tongues cut out while they were yet alive because they attempted to translate this book so you and I could stand here and read it. Maybe we all just all say thank God for this wonderful Bible that we have in our hand, because it came at great expense. Amen. Oh, we're blessed, church. We're blessed. We're blessed. Praise God. Let's read it together. Verse number 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Praise God. He came, verse number 11, the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. In Luke chapter 19, where Jesus was speaking to Zacchaeus, He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that. He put another word in there. Come to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise God. But I must bring you to a reality again this morning. And I would like to, by the help of the Holy Ghost, if He would anoint these lips of clay to preach to you today, that we do have a Savior. We do have a Shepherd. We do have a Master that is coming to seek and to save that which is lost. I think probably, and maybe it's just been maybe the places I've been, but I would say in the free movement, the holiness, Pentecostal services, especially in our meetings, we've heard a lot of preaching through the years about the enemy, about the devil, about Satan. And I'm going to talk about him a little bit as well, that is on your trail, that is pursuing, and certainly he is. Peter warned us, you have an adversary. And Holy Ghost, help me here this morning. Keep the minds and the attentions of the people here. But he said, you have an adversary that goeth about. Y'all, how many remember reading that? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. So we've got to be aware of that, and we have to have an understanding of that. And so I will at this point give you my title, and they can put it up on the screen. I titled this morning, When Your Master Comes Calling. When your master comes calling. The good thing about it is we have a part to play. We have a decision to make in who our master is. Amen. How many remember reading, I think Paul wrote in Romans, that ye are a servant. Amen. How many remember that? You're a servant to whom you obey. Amen. And we know that if we are a servant, then that stands to reason that we have a master. Hallelujah. I wonder how many here this morning would acknowledge that I have a master. Amen. And his name is Jesus. And he is the good shepherd. Amen. And if we know him and we know his voice and we understand who he is, there should be a rejoicing in our heart. Amen. Because our master, our shepherd, he knows who we are. And he knows where we are. And he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There are two supernatural forces in this life that are seeking you out. One is like a bloodhound that is pursuing you and constantly trying to expose your location so he can move in for the kill. So the roaring lion that's been stalking and been searching and been waiting for you to get out of line, amen, and waiting for you to cross into his territory where he feels like he's safe to pounce on you and to take you. Oh yes, there is that one. Amen. But thank God for the other that is the good shepherd. Amen. Let me preach to you this morning. I know there's more rejoicing over the one that was lost that the shepherd went out to find. Amen. But I want to tell you something. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over the 100. Amen. He came to seek and to save not just one, but he came to seek and save all. Amen. Oh, I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. Thank God I can say this morning from my heart, he is my master. He is my savior. He's the one that came looking for me. He's the one that came searching for me. Amen. I like that part of the song that Gerald Crabb wrote. Amen. And we sing it sometimes. Amen. That second verse said Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan, amen, was to foil and to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time. But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Amen. For he walked through the storm when he came looking for me. Amen. If you're saved, would you just take a little time with me this morning? Amen. Is there anything wrong while we're having preaching for the saints to raise their hands and just worship God for a moment or two? Amen. And thank God. I know there's a pursuing lion. I know the lion's come up out of the thicket. Amen. But I'm rejoicing right now because I have a good shepherd that walked around and went through the night and walked through the storm. Amen. He came looking. He had me in mind and he was looking for me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad he did. Amen. That's the good shepherd. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. lift your hands and give him praise right now. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I know him. Amen. If you would, for a moment, if you would just imagine that woman that walks out to get water like all the women do in that day, out to the well or out to the spring. Amen. Water's a source. It's not piped into their house. They have to have it to wash. They have to have it to drink. They have to have it for purity. They have to have it to be clean. Amen. It was necessary for that woman to go to the source, to the well, to get water. Amen. Just because she had had five husbands didn't mean she didn't get thirsty. Just because she had five husbands didn't mean she needed to wash clothes for her family. Amen. Just because she had problems in her life, amen, didn't keep her from the basic needs of life. Amen. So she had to go. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me preach this morning. Amen. Some have reason that she went alone because nobody else wanted to walk with her. I cannot confirm or deny that, but I know one thing: she was at the well. Amen. But thank God, a few hours before, Jesus said to his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. He knew she was going to be there. He knew what her needs were going to be, and Jesus came looking. Amen. Jesus didn't get up and pray like we do sometimes. Oh, Lord, just help me. Help me to witness to somebody today. Help my, and I pray this way sometimes. Let my paths cross with somebody I can help. Let my path cross with somebody that I can say something to. Amen. But with Jesus, it was specific. He knew she would be there. He knew what she would need. Amen. And he went out of his way and went into a city that even his disciples could not imagine that he would go to Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings. They would go a long ways, Brother Ken, to go around it. Out of their way to keep from going through Samaria. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm looking for somebody. Oh, God, help me here today. Man, I need the Holy Ghost to work in here this morning. You're not here by accident. Amen. Would you pull with me, church? Amen. Work with me this morning. Work with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It might be that somebody would see. I have a good shepherd. Amen. I have a pursuing hound. I have somebody that's trying to expose me. But also I have a good shepherd that's going through the brush and going through the forest that you're living in when things have gone awry in your life, and he's saying, I want you. I'm looking for you. Where are you? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Five husbands, a lot of brokenness. She'd been abused, she'd been taken advantage of, she had been left, she had been rejected. Amen. Not just one time. I can't imagine going through one divorce. My God. I sure can't imagine going through five. My God, how in the world could that be, that somebody could live through all of the heartbreak and disappointment that this woman went through? But Jesus said, we got to get there. We got to get to her. Amen. If we don't, she'll get in another bad relationship. Man, I wish somebody would hear me preach this morning. Amen. When people start making bad decisions and they start changing and they start moving, you know what happens? Many times a woman will go from one abusive relationship to another abusive relationship to another abusive relationship, and it only keeps going down, 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 down. Amen. And I'm preaching to you this morning, when you leave God, when you leave your first, when you leave where God wants you to be, amen, unless the good shepherd finds you, unless you would expose yourself this morning and say, here I am, Jesus. I'm here on the well. I'm waiting for you to come by. I can tell you right now, your life is only going to be another disappointment and another heartbreak and more abuse and more neglect, amen, until your life is over. And then that stalking lion will move in. He will move in for the kill. Holy Ghost, help us here this morning. Lift your hands right now, church, and pray with me a moment. Oh, holy, 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 holy. Amen, amen, amen. She'd been abused. She'd been violated. She'd been forsaken. She'd been rejected. But Jesus said, I must needs go. Oh, there ought to be some people in this house right now that could identify with the preacher and could identify with this woman and say, thank God. Amen. Instead of me encouraging you every few minutes, there ought to be something rolling over in you that says, thank God he found me. Thank God he found me. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lead you out. Amen. I've got a good foe. I've got a safe place. I've got a place of comfort. Amen. I want to be your master. Hallelujah. He came looking. Jesus. Jesus came looking. I have good news this morning. Amen. He's looking for you. Jesus found her, rescued her before another disappointment could overtake her. Amen. And the last time we have record of her, she's run back to town. And she's become a soul winner in Samaria. Woo! Come and see a man. Come on out. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, church, I know a lot of us are second, third, and fourth generation. And I know we sit in a good service like this. And if we're not careful, we'll be a little melancholy. Amen. But oh, that God would remind us. And maybe some more of these will come in and get saved. Amen. When those really find God for that first time and that initial joy, amen, it puts a drive in them to be a soul winner like you can't imagine. God, do it again. Some people have been so long in the fold, in the shelter, they forgot what it was like to be lost. Oh, help me to preach here this morning, Lord. I wish somebody right here in this service, I wish the Holy Ghost, I wished I had a sound of one of those choppers like y'all had when you was in Vietnam, Brother Bob. If I had one of those sounds, if I'd have thought about it, I had somebody to got it and played it over the PA this morning. Hey, man, I don't even know how to describe it, but you know what it sounds like when a helicopter soars over. Hey, man, I heard Brother Johnny Watkins say, when we was pinned down in a rice paddy, hey, man, afraid to stick our head up because the enemy was all around us. Hey, man, Brother Lowell Williams would verify it as well. But all of a sudden there in Southeast Asia, hey, man, they would hear the sound of those choppers coming. Amen. You know what it was time to do then? It was time to stand up. Amen. It was time to say, hey, hey, here I am. Rescue me. Amen. Oh, come on, church, here this morning. We got people here this morning that need to be saved. We've got some that the enemy is stalking. But I want to remind them this morning that you have a good shepherd. Amen. And he is just as diligent, if not more so, trying to find you. Don't be afraid to reveal your location. Say, Lord, here I am. Praise God. Aren't you glad he came looking? Oh, he came looking for me. He made the way when there was no way that I could see. I'd wandered so far, but Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Hallelujah. Woo! Now I'm safe from all harm since I found the one. Oh, church, are y'all going to have church with me this morning? Are y'all going to watch me have it by myself here? Come on, let's worship God a moment. Somebody's got to be thinking about it. You got to be. You got to be remembering how it was. Man, when you was on that sea of darkness and the light come across one more time where you was and you said, here I am. Praise God. Oh, if God would just help somebody this morning to give up their location. Like that little fawn, that man lived in the rural area. I've tried times pretty hard to confirm the authenticity I tell something, illustrate something I want to know. But I just have to tell you like I've heard it or read it or something. Sometimes when you've been doing this as long as I have, you forget. But it comes to my mind that he heard the hounds out behind his house. Deer season's on. He looks down, sees the hounds, sees the deer in front of it. He says, I'll grab my gun. I'll run outside, run through the timber down in the meadow where they're coming through. And I'll just go ahead and take bag that little animal. But when he cut through the timber and got in the meadow, and the little fawn saw him while those hounds were pursuing him, he said that little fawn turned and ran straight toward him. And he said, I couldn't do it. I throwed the rifle down. And he said that little fawn run right between his legs. And he picked it up and held it high above his head and began to kick those hounds as they were still jumping and yelping. And he said, you're not getting this one. I'm holding this one up. You'll not get this one. Oh, God, I'm feeling I'm at the heart of a shepherd this morning. I know I'm preaching to somebody. Man, I know there's people in this congregation. The hounds are pursuing you. Man, but I'm trying to push you as high as I can. Amen. By the Holy Ghost, out of the reach of the hounds, and I'll kick their teeth in if I can, and hold you in safety until God rescues you. Amen. Would you kick with me, church? Would you shout with me, cry with me, weep with me? Let's hold on. We can fight them off. We can fend them off. We can push the enemy back. Amen. We can hold ours up in prayer until God would pull them up out of our hand. Came looking. He came looking. You'll not get this one. Not if I got anything to do with it, you'll not get this one. Amen. Praise God. Go with me now to the synagogue. You'll find you can read this story. St. John chapter 9. You go back and read chapter 8. And some of you, when I relate this to you, you'll remember Jesus had said some things in the synagogue that upset the Pharisees. And they attempted to stone him. Now, I don't know, you can read it and see what you think, but it sounds to me like that they picked up stones right in the synagogue. That's the way they made it sound. And I know it's different than our way we have church. And, you know, it may have been in the court. I don't know. But nevertheless, Jesus, being the Savior that he was, he passed through. He hid himself. You can read this. And he passed through the midst of them. Amen. How many remember? Would you pray with me again right now, church? Amen. Oh, we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody be thinking about a song. Get ready to sing. We need the Holy Ghost here to move. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Devil, I'm going to tell you again, you're not getting them. You're not getting them. You can't have them. Amen. Not this one. This one is mine. Amen. Amen. The good shepherd's walking through the night. He's looking for you. He's going around. He's seeking. He's trying to find you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He passes through the midst. He walks out. It sounds like almost immediately he sees a blind man. This man's been blind his whole life. Come on, church, stay with me here now. And the disciples ask, he said, Jesus, who sinned? There's always worried about sin. Always wondering about who sinned? Who sinned, Jesus? I mean, whose fault is an innocent baby that's born in this world? It's born blind. Who did sin? This man or his parents? I ask you, how could that baby have sinned that it would have been born blind? Maybe they was putting blame on the parents. But Jesus said, neither. Woo! Oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of this morning. I need revival to break out in this church house. I want somebody to walk the aisle and give their heart to God. Give up their position. Give theirself up. Pray with me, church. Pray. It's comforting to me when I hear you praying. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do a work here this morning. Praise God. Oh, yes. Amen. Just think about it. Come on down here, Luke, and help me out a minute. Just Come stand right here. This man, no doubt, is begging. And he's of age. I mean, in the Bible, sit down there. He's probably close to at least probably 40 years old, maybe. He can't see what's going on. Jesus goes over and finds a little dust, and he spits on it. It's probably a good thing he couldn't see what was going on. Makes a little clay out of that spittle and comes over and puts it on his eyes. It says, now go wash. Go wash, blind man. No, you're blind. You can't get up. Go wash, blind man. How am I? You know what I think? I think he's probably asking. He's probably sitting there with that stuff drying on his eyes. And maybe he reaches out to somebody and says, I need to get this stuff off. Could you lead me, sir, to where the water is? And no doubt somebody took him and said, there's a pool over here. Amen. And he got him over there to it. Amen. Maybe he bent him over it and helped him slush a little water up there in his eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? Of course you do. Amen. These are just not little Bible stories. It really happened. Amen. I can see. Thank God. I didn't know a door looked like that. I didn't know blue was blue. I didn't know green was green. Amen. I didn't know the sky was blue. I didn't know the sun looked like that. Thank God I can see. Just like a bunch of religious zealots are, they couldn't rejoice because that man had received his sight. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. I probably need you again, blind man, here in a moment. So they, y'all come with me a little bit here. Like Brother Greg, he had to keep asking this morning, he's still at the cross, still at the cross, still here. Just kind of pull your mind in here. Blind man, it's not blind man now, he's seeing man now. And he gets back to his house, his neighbor says, I wonder who that guy is. Well, that's old Luke. Well, no, it ain't Luke. You can read this. This is in the Bible. I'm still in the Bible. The neighbor said, that's him. And some of them said, no, it's not. No, it ain't him. I mean, I can see him. You know, Brother Glenn, that kind of looks like Luke, don't it? Yeah, but Luke's blind. It can't be Luke because he's blind. Yeah, but that's him. Well, somebody finally got the nerve. Hey, are you Luke?
Yes, I'm.
Are you that man that was blind?
Yes, I'm.
Yeah, it is. Well, what happened to you? Well, he said a man called
Jesus.
A man called Jesus. Huh. Now go with me now. Think about this. I mean, it sounds like Jesus is being stoned. It sounds like, and we don't always follow it because the chapter breaks, but it sounds like he walks out of the synagogue and sees a blind man. So there's still a stir going on down at the church house. And after that little incident, they said, and they made a deal at the church house, if anybody believes on him, we're terminating their papers and we're casting them out of the synagogue. This boy that's been healed, his parents are good standing members in the synagogue, and they don't want to be kicked out of the church. And they know full well what's been said and what's going on. So they are being extremely cautious. Hard to believe, isn't it? You'd think they'd be rejoicing because their son is healed. Amen. Look, stay. Are we doing all right so far? Are y'all kind of in here with me? You're imagining this now? Amen. So the Pharisees say they won't talk to his parents. So they talked to his parents and they said, well, we can confirm this. He is our son. And he was born blind. We confirm that. And we know he's healed now. But how he's healed? We ain't saying no more. He's of age. Ask him. So they brought him in. Was you blind? Yes. Did man put clay on you? Who was it? Jesus. What do you think about him? He said, I think he's a prophet. He said, from the beginning of time, it's not been known that a man is born blind. He reproved him. He said, you guys ought to be rejoicing. Y'all ought to be praising God for this. They said, oh, no. We're Moses' disciples. We know that Moses spoke. We know God spoke to Moses, but this guy, we don't know about him. So you need to go ahead and give God a praise. Oh, man, I love this part right here. This is what in our story, it's Luke. They said, this man's a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I believe he's a prophet. But whatever y'all think. But this I do know. I was blind. But now, boys, put the charts on the wall. E, D, C, B, Q. I got 20/20 vision. Somebody shout, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Man, praise God. Oh, I wish I could remember all that verse, that song that Brother Havis used to sing. Hey, man, he said the Pharisees murmuring, they cast him out, but he had two eyes to walk about. And that's another witness for my Lord. Oh, that's another witness for my Lord. He don't know what he's going to do. He may not have a home to go. He don't have a church to go to. He's been kicked out. Oh, come on, church. Some of you know what that's like. He don't have no. And I'm telling you, in those days when you're excommunicated from the Pharisees, you are by yourself. You're all alone. Nobody wants to have anything to do with you. Man, and he gets kicked out. And it seems like he hadn't went anywhere. Hardly any ways down the road at all. Amen. Until a man walks up to him. And it says, this is what's happened to you. So was you blind? He says, what happened? A man called Jesus put clay on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I came seeing. I've lost some of my crowd now. I need you to come back because I'm almost done preaching. Come on back. Come on back in here now. This is so important to my message right here. And God just showed me something in this real recently. Amen. Jesus said to him, now you understand, he's never seen Jesus. He don't know Jesus. But the word says in chapter 9 that Jesus found him. Oh, I wish somebody would say praise God. Jesus knew he'd got kicked out. Jesus knew right where he was. Oh, I want to ask you, church, come on. I'm really pulling hard for you this morning. I want to know how many of you, since you've been saved, since you got the scales off of your eyes, amen, how many times since you really first got saved that you just needed Jesus to find you? Amen. All over again in another service, in another camp meeting, you just needed him to find where you was. Amen. You was going through something and you didn't understand, and you'd been excommunicated and you'd been kicked out. And you didn't know what you was going to do, and you just needed Jesus to find you. Can I get a witness in here? Has he come to you? Has he sent a word to you? Has he sent a message that seemed like just had your name all over it? And you said, Jesus still loves me. Amen. Now, Brother Luke, Jesus already knew his conversation with the Pharisees. He knew, Jesus already knew that this man had acknowledged that he was a prophet in their presence. Amen. Oh, I like this. He don't even realize he's talking to Jesus, because the last time he was in contact with Jesus, he was still blind. Amen. But now Jesus found him and he's talking to him. And he says, do you believe? And he said, I believe. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus looked back to him and he said, right here. He said, you have both seen him. I've never understood that till about 2 weeks ago. Amen. When he said, you have both seen him. He's seen him as the Messiah before he ever seen him with his eyes. And so Jesus is saying to him, you've seen me in two ways. You've both seen me. And by the way, I'm the one that healed you. I'm talking to you right now. I'm standing looking at you. Somebody ought to rejoice right now. I hadn't always known him like I know him now. I haven't always experienced him like I'm experiencing him now. I haven't always known him like I know him now. But thank God, I have both seen him. Amen. And since I've been saved, I've seen him in many, 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 many different ways. Lift your hands all over the house this morning. Worship God. Worship, worship, worship. While somebody comes and gets us a song. Hey, man, I need you to get to the piano, the platform, as soon as you can. Get ready to sing. Hey, man. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, man, if my dad was here, mom and dad was here, and I don't know if I can sing, but I like this song. I've heard them sing it so many years. Hey, man, but it goes something like this. I search for him, but I knew not what I searched for. I long for him. Sing it with me. I don't need any music right now. Just sing it with me. I longed for till I found Jesus. I knew that I would search no more. He filled that longing down in my soul along the pathway of dark despair. Come on, church. All brokenhearted, bowed down with care, I met the Master. I knew him there. He filled that longing down in my soul. And then he says, if you've been bruised by the chains of sin and you are searching for peace within, I know the Savior, he'll make you whole and he'll feel that longing down in your soul. Oh, hallelujah. I searched for him, but I knew not what I searched for. Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost, to bring this to this altar call where we need to be here this morning. It's in 2 Kings, about chapter number 6. You'll remember this story, and it'll just take me just a moment to relay this. I know some of you are already standing, and that's all right. I want the Holy Ghost to move here. Elisha had been led into, well, Elisha had went into Samaria. You see, there was war going on between the Syrians and the Israelites. Seemed like every year when kings would go out to war, and they'd be into it. And every place the Samaritans would show up, their plans would be thwarted. And somebody said to the king, the things you whisper in your bedchamber, the king's hearing. And they figured out it was the man of God, and it was Elisha. He would go tell the king, don't camp here, don't go there, don't go here, don't go here. And so the Syrians' plans were thwarted. Y'all remember that? So they come down. Come on now. Come on. And the horses encamp the city of Dothan. Am I right, Brother Carlton? And the young man comes out and he says, the whole mountain's filled. What are we going to do? Alas, master, how shall we do? And Elisha went over, brother, laid his hands on the young man, said, open his eyes. I'm telling you all that to get you. You remember the setting now? And he said, whoa, man, wow, the whole mountain's filled with horses of fire, chariots of fire. More of them that's with us than with the enemy. Praise God. He smote the men with blindness, and they led those Syrians back to Samaria. And Elisha was there. Ahab was there, of course. Ahab says, Father, shall I smite them? You going to bring a dog in on a chain and start kicking his teeth out and killing it and mistreating it? I mean, that was their captives of war. They were blind. They let them in there blind by the power of God. And now the wicked king says, "We're going to smite them." Elisha said, "No, don't smite them." He said, "Feed them. Give them a meal. Send them back to Syria." Are y'all still here? But then you know what happens? A year later, the Syrians come back, and Elisha's still in Samaria. And they besiege the city. Come on, yeah. Help me, Jesus. Am I wearing you out right now? Come on. A little closer here. Oh, God. He says, we'll go besiege it because we want to get the prophet. The Syrians wanted to get the man of God. So they besieged the city until dove's dung was being sold for a food staple. Are y'all still here? A dead mule's head, horse's head, was being sold for money for people to eat. The king met two women on the wall. And the woman said, oh, king, help me. Yesterday, we boiled my son and we ate him. And we made a deal with this woman that tomorrow we'd eat hers. And we've ate mine, sustained us for another couple of days. Now she's hid hers. Now I'm trying to bring you to a place here. Here's Ahab. I mean, the city's besieged. I'm talking about famine like we don't know how to imagine. I've already told you things they were eating that you wouldn't think about eating, but when you're desperate. And he's crying out to the king on the wall for help. And he says, "Woman, I can't help you. You want me to help you from the barn floor or the wine press? I don't have anything in either one. I can't help you." He realized when his people had turned to cannibalism. Are you here? Are y'all still here, church? I mean, this thing's bad when they're eating each other. And he rents his clothes. And now he's turning on the man of God. And he said, "The God do more to me also if the head of Elisha will stand on him the rest of this day." And he sends an executioner down to find Elisha to take his head off. Some of you are looking at me like you don't think I'm telling you a fairy tale. You can go read this 6th chapter, 2 Kings. Amen. And when that executioner started down there toward Elisha's house, Elisha told the people that's around him, he said, "There's a man coming. He's fixing to knock on the door." And he said, "When he does, you grab a hold of him and put him in and hold him in." He said, "Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him." Do I need to say that again? Can y'all read my title? When your master comes calling. Amen. The Lord's helped us today. The service got high a few minutes ago. I would have loved for it to just went on into shouting and rejoicing. And y'all know I didn't pull you back. I encouraged you to. I'd have loved for that to happen. Amen. But I need to bring somebody to this place right now. Your master. You are servant to whom you obey. You say, no, I'm uncommitted, preacher. I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm just out here doing my own thing. Oh, no. You're falling for the deception of the world. You are a servant to whom you obey. Amen. When people that are bound, there's a heartbreaking story I could tell you about right now, but probably wouldn't be wisdom to go into it. Some of you here will know. But when people are bound by alcohol, when they are bound by drugs, when they are bound by immorality, and I can't imagine this, but I've heard people talk about it, that are bound with such things as pornography, and they know it's destroying their family, but they can't stop. Oh, I'm telling you, church, it's like one man said that was an alcoholic. He said, "I have the ability to drink much. And I have the ability to drink none. But," he said, "I have not the ability to drink little." And that's where the devil pulls people in. You can do it a little. But once you become his servant, that indentured pleasure. Hear me preach. Man, are y'all feeling that? Has something changed here? Man, somebody needs to respond in this altar call this morning. When that little thing that you say, I can control it, I can handle it, I can do it when I want to, and I can abstain from it when I want to. Yes, there will be a point in your life that you can, but there will be a point that that thing will take over and it will become a demanding demon, and you will have to get that thing exorcised or cast out, extracted from you. Man, I feel the whole, I didn't know this was going, it's not in my notes. And I've had you standing. Well, no, I didn't ask you to stand, but you have been for a while. Could we just stand here in the presence of the Lord for a few minutes and let the Holy Ghost work? Would that be all right? It's not even 12 o'clock yet. I'm asking you. I ain't seen no nods or no hands go up. Is that all right? If we just abide here for a moment. And when you give yourself to those things, and you become a servant and a slave to that, your master will come calling. I haven't tried to hang you over hell by shoestring and preach doom and gloom and all bad. And I'm trying to not do that as much. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. But I've tried to tell you about a good shepherd that loves you, that's got a good foe for you. Oh, holy. Woo! Your family can be safe and whole and healed. I've loved living for Jesus. I've loved this holiest way. I've loved this walk. I'm happy with my life. I have no regrets whatsoever of the way I've lived and the way I've raised my children. But I want to tell you something. I know a lot of people that just changed it a little bit. Amen. And they have come and been honest. They're not happy with the way they raised their family. They're not happy with the direction their life went. They're not pleased with the way it turned out. But I'm telling you this morning, you've got an opportunity to change that. And you can't wait 10 years to do it. My God, you got to do it now. Well, do I have a praying church? Do I have a Holy Ghost-filled church? Amen. It'll work with me this morning until God will challenge those that need to change partners and change masters. Will say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm in the rice paddy. Pull me out, God. That's what I'm trying to get you to do this morning. Shut the door. It's not the sound of his master's feet. Maybe if you could turn me up just a little bit. Pursuing, looking, stalking. Oh, God, help us. What if somebody's watching your Facebook page right now, looking to see what your children look like, looking to see where they go to school, looking to see what the pattern is, looking to see what's going to happen. Somebody needs to hear me preach this morning. We got too many people. Y'all, there's too many of you that are doing things and taking chances. Man, Brother Greg hit it on the head this morning. You're taking a chance, a chance, a chance. Somebody want to speak the message right now? In the name of Jesus. I've blew through too many altar calls. I've been asking God to help me. I've been praying about what I need to do when I get to here. Oh, come on, church. Somebody feels it right now. There's a quietness. There's a stillness here. I tell you what somebody needs to do. You're pinned down in the rice paddy. It's time right now to raise your hand and say, I need it. I need help. I need help. Why do we hold back when we know we need help? Why do we set back when we know the Holy Ghost is beckoning? We're going to wait a little bit too long, church. This is going to slip away. Come on now. Come on now. Do we have the Holy Ghost? Are we filled with it? Have we been a little slack because we've been in vacation in summertime? The devil don't take a vacation in summertime. When we're going to the lake every other Sunday and every other weekend, he don't let up. The stalking of the enemy continues on. Matter of fact, he takes advantages of those times. This is what I feel the Spirit saying. Some of you, and I'll stand back and I'll be subject if there's a revelation to another that standeth by. But I hear the prophet of old say, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Boy, I sure hate to dismiss a service like this without an altar call, but I'm fixing to do it. I'm gonna turn you loose right here where we're standing. Unless somebody makes a break to this altar in just a few seconds. I'm not going to be weary on the church or on the saints. You know who you are. You know God's calling. You know God's dealing. You know God's saying. The gifts of the Spirit have operated, tongues and interpretation of tongues. And others, I feel like, that have the revelation as well. This is not just for a sinner. This is not just for somebody that's not saved, right where they need to be. This is for somebody that's playing games. You're in the shadow of the cross and you're playing. God's already helped you. God's already extended mercy to you. And you're going back and still yet experimenting with some of those same things that you know in your heart is wrong. It's you, sir. It's you, ma'am. It's you, young man, brother, sister. Y'all, I'm fixing to change this. I'm sorry. It's not supposed to work like this. I don't want it to be just, it's always a fear, 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 fear. And make God out to be a God of fear. And it's always. But you know, we could have responded a while ago when we were way up there. God just wants to see something. Oh, that our hearts would be tender toward Him. Maybe somebody that's prayed through, that's prayed this week, that's asked God to anoint the preacher to preach this morning. We'll take the pressure off the others and we'll put it over on you. You come and seek God right now and let somebody else follow you. That be all right. We won't think nothing. We won't think it's you. We won't think you're backslid. We got to get away from that anyway, man.